Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's working. At Northampton Kollel, she given on Sunday, the 2nd of May 2010, Yudches Iyar Toshin Ayin, it's Lag Ba'ume. We'll give the share as an Ilu Nishmas Marina Rav, Rav David Ben Rav Shlomo Zalman, in memory of Rabbi Cooper. Okay, so we're on Tilim chapter Tezayin, and we'll take it from Pasuk Tes. And what we'll do is we'll look at the last three Pasukim of this chapter. So it's chapter Tezayin, Pasukim 9, 10, and 11. We'll do all the Pasukim in one go because they're really one unit. We'll do as many Midrashim and Mefarshim as we can do this week, and we'll probably be able to finish it off next week. Okay? Right. So, we've just had in Pasuk Ches, we've had Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. David HaMelech says, I place Hashem before me, Samid, all the time. Kimi Mini Balemot. Kimi Mini, he's at my right hand side. Balemot, I will not slip. And now he says, Lochein, therefore, Samach Libi, my heart rejoices, or rejoiced, Vayogel Kavodi, and my honor rejoices, celebrates. Also, my flesh will dwell lovetach in safety. Thank you. Yeah. Kilo sa'azov nashi lisha'ol, because you will not forsake my soul lisha'ol to the grave. Lo sitin chasidcha liros shachas. You will not allow your pious one, that's me, says David, I am the pious one, liros shachas, to see destruction. Todieni yerachayim, inform me the way of life, tell me about the way of life. Sova samachos, with a plenitude of happiness. Esponecho, with your face. Ni'imos, pleasantnesses, pleasantries, pleasant, happy things, good things. Be'imincho, at your right hand side, netzach, forever. The gist of these three pesukim is that David is saying, it talks about the neshama going into Olam Haba. And this is all about Olam Haba and related issues. So, let's go through the Pesukim one by one. Lachen samach libi, therefore my heart rejoices, vayogel kavodi, my covered, my honor celebrates, after sarish kenavetach, also my flesh will dwell in safety. So Rashi explains that this word lachen is very strange. Normally the word lachen refers to something that we've had previously. So I could say, it's raining today, lochein, therefore I'm not going to go out. So the word lochein refers back to what I've just said. I've just said it's raining today, therefore I'm not going out. But Rashi here learns differently. Rashi says the word lochein projects forward to Pasuk Yud. So in Pasuk Yud we've had, Kilo sazev nafshi, you will not forsake my soul, lisha'ol, to the grave. And therefore, and on the basis of that, David says, Lochein, therefore, samach libi, my heart rejoices. It's a bit odd, it's a bit strange, I don't really understand how this works, but that's how Rashi learns. That the word Lochein is based on what I'm saying in Pasuk Yud, that Hashem does not forsake me, therefore I rejoice. So the word Lochein really projects forward. And yeah, from the Pasuk ahead, from Pasuk Yud. Yeah, a bit unusual, isn't it? That's how Rashi learns. Why not? Why is it unusual? Well, because normally the word lochein comes after a statement. So I have statement A, lochein, therefore statement B. But here, you've got the word lochein based on Pasuk Yud. The word lochein is in Pasuk Tes. But based on what I'm saying in Pasuk Yud, namely that Hashem will not forsake me to the grave, lochein, therefore, samach libi, my heart rejoices. So the word therefore seems to come a little bit too early.
Conditional.
Pardon?
Conditional.
Conditional, yeah, okay, I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose so. But it's just a bit of an unusual structure. I can point out to you that the Radak learns differently. The Radak learns that instead of going on Pasuk Yud, as Rashi learns, it goes on back to Pasuk Ches. On Pasuk Ches, we've had Shavis Hashem Lenegdi Samid, I place God before me all the time. And he's at my right hand side. Says the Radak, Lochein, therefore, Samach Libi, my heart rejoices. So we can understand the Radak probably a bit more easily than Rashi. The Radak learns it follows in sequence. Posuk Ches, Hashem is next to me all the time. Posuk Tes, therefore, Samach Libi. That's how the Radak learns. Okay, Rashi then goes on to say that what we have in Posuk Tes is David saying, my heart rejoices. Why does my heart rejoice? And af b'sari yishken avetach, my flesh is safe and will dwell safely. He says, based on a posuk in Shmuel Beis. In Shmuel Beis, chapter Yud Beis, posuk Yud Gimel, where Nosson Hanovi comes to David and gives David this big musa drasha for having killed off Uriah Hachiti and then marrying Uriah's wife Bathsheba, and Nosson Hanovi comes along and gives him a big Musa Joshua. So David responds, he hears the Musa Joshua and he takes it on the chin, so to speak, and David does teshuvah on the spot. And David said to Nosson, Chotasi Lashem, I've sinned to God. It's an instant teshuvah. He realized he'd slipped up and immediately did teshuvah. Whereupon, by Yemen Nosson al David, Nosson said to David, Gam Hashem he'evich hatasucha. God has now removed your sin. That's it. You've done teshuvah and Hashem has removed your sin. Lo somus, you shall die. On the basis of having killed off Uriah and married Bathsheba, you will not die. Lo somus, you shall not die. So, based on this, David now, in our chapter, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, since you forgive me for my Avera then, Kal Vachomer, I know you will no longer forsake me now. You looked after me then, and therefore, Kal Vachomer, you went, Kal Vachomer, Sheme Atah, that from now, Lo Sa'azveni, you will not forsake me, Lo Sumimcha, to turn away from you. So Rashi learns, it's a Kal Vachomer, you forgave me then for the sin of Bathsheba. So Kal Vachomer, you'll now look after me, and I will come to no harm now. Interesting. That's how Rashi learns. The Kal Vachomer is a bit beyond me. I don't quite get. I mean, Kal Vachomer in terms of like a halachic Kal Vachomer, it's hard to say based on that Kal Vachomer how much more so this is bound to happen. But that's what he's saying here. Therefore, my heart rejoices because I know I'll be looked after. After sorry, Yishken Avetach, and you won't forsake me. Kilo Sazav Nashi Lishol, you won't forsake me to the Sheol, to the grave. So. Kal Vachomer, since you forgave me then from the sin of Uriah and Bathsheba, Kal Vachomer, you look after me now. That's how Rashi learns it. The Ibn Ezra defines all these terms. We have some Lochein Samach Libi, my heart, Vayogel Kavodi, my honor rejoices, and Af Besori, and my flesh, Yishken Avetach, will live in safety. So the Ibn Ezra, excuse me. The Ibn Ezra defines all these terms. He says, what is Libi, what is Kavodi, and what is Besori? Says Ibn Ezra, Libi is Seichel, my intelligence, my intellect. My intellect, that's a better word. My intellect is Libi, literally my heart, but it means my intellect. Kavodi, he says, is a reference to the Neshama. And Besori is the Guf. So you've got Libi, which is the brain, the intellect. You've got my Neshama, which is Kavodi. And you've got the rest of my body, which is the besori, my flesh. Excuse me. And it says, all these aspects of me will all rejoice. Samach Libi, Bayoka Kavodi, and Afasori Yishkanavetach. All aspects of me will rejoice with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ibn Ezra, let's dwell on that for a second, that the word Kavodi being a reference to my Neshama. So there's a Gemara in, I don't believe it, and I've got it here, I did bring it. Right, the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon, which is a Sefer given to me as a birthday present some years ago by our children, knowing I was giving the Shir on Tehillim, so they searched out this Sefer on Tehillim. It's the Sefer from Reb Shimshon Pinchas, who lived in America. He died very young in a car crash. Yeah, Big Tom Chacham, and he... And they brought out a sefer after he passed away. He died in a car crash very young of the various things that he wrote. So he explains here, this word kavodi, vayogel kavodi, my covered rejoices, That refers to the neshama. He says, why is the neshama described as covered, as honor? And he explains, because it's the ultimate honor of a human being is his neshama. It's the neshama that gets the place in Olam Haba. That is a person's ultimate honor. And therefore it's referred to in the pasuk by the word kavodi. And it refers later on to chapter Nun Zayin in Tanim, Ura Chavodi, where again David HaMelech refers to his neshama using the word covered. And he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sir Norman, you've done this Gemara very recently in the Daf Samach Dalad Amad Aleph, which brings a story, which is a very amazing story, of a lady, here we are, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Sanhedrin Samach Dalad Amad Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Ma'aseh B'Nachri Sachas, it was the story of a non-Jewish lady, Shahosa Chola B'Yoser, she was extremely ill, Amar, she said, Im Ta'amud, she took an undertaking, Im Ta'amud, Ha'ki Isha Mecholeha, If I recover from my illness, teilech, then I'll go v'sa'avod l'chol avodas Hashem be'olam. In gratitude for recovering from my illness, said this non-Jewish lady, I'll go and I'll serve every single avodah zarah in the world. Remember this? In the story, you know, Omda, she stood up, v'holcha, and she went off. L'chol avodas Hashem be'olam. Oh, sorry, Omda means she recovered. She did indeed recover from the illness. Whereupon she went to fulfill her undertaking. Yeah, her promise. V'holcha l'chol avodas Hashem be'olam. She went to every single idolatrous worship in the world, and served it. But kiven shehigia le'pe'er, when she arrived at Pe'er, which is a very weird avodah zarah and a particularly disgusting one, and you'll see how Baal Pe'er, same thing. Yeah, Shaala lechomrim. She asked the local priests there, the priests of the avodah zarah. Bamei ovdenuzu. What do I do to serve this? What do I have to do? Omila, they said to her, Ochlim terodim. We eat beets, vegetable beets. Veshosin shechar, and we drink beer. Both of which give a person a bit of an upset stomach, or at least they work as a laxative, make a person go to the toilet. And then the way we serve this avodah zarah is then we defecate in front of this avodah zarah. That's what they did. Amra, she said, it would be better for me, she refers to herself in the third person throughout this whole story, it would be better for me that I would once again revert to my illness rather than worshipping this avodah zarah in this manner. So Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, this is Hanashama talking. This is Hanashama talking. Why? Because she's saying, I'd rather die from this other illness. Boundaries, absolute boundaries, and this is a boundary of self-respect, of dignity. And I'm not prepared to go to that length to serve the avodah zarah. That I'm not prepared to do. And he says that's why the neshama is referred to as covered. It went against her own covered to do this form of avodah zarah. This was beyond her dignity, beneath her dignity. She wasn't prepared to do it. And he says, and it was her neshama talking. And he says, on that basis, that's why neshama is referred to as covered. It's a person's ultimate covered. Absolutely. It would appear so. She didn't do it. She didn't. She refused. Did she revert to her illness? I think the Gemara says that. I think the Gemara goes into that. Yeah. So that's why it is. That's how the Ibn Ezra and others, the Radak also learns in this manner that about these three things, that the lev refers to the intellect, the kovod refers to the neshama, and the bosar, besori yishkon havetach, refers to the human, to the flesh. The Ibn Ezra learns, what's shouting these words, Af besori yishkon lavetach. Now you'll see there are three main pshatim on this phrase, and they're amazing. And I just found out the last one this morning. The Ibn Ezra learns Af besori yishkon lavetach is a reference to my body living a healthy life. Yishkon lavetach, I'll live in safety. Thank you for that translation before. I'll live in safety, and in other words, I'll be healthy. Af besori yishkon lavetach, I'll be healthy, and I won't come to any harm. I won't suffer any illnesses And it says, despite as the years roll by and times change and I'll grow old and so on and so forth, says Ibn Ezra, the pshat in this is I'll remain healthy. This is David HaMelech saying, after Sarishkan Avetach, I'll remain healthy. That's how he learns pshat in this. The Metzudas David learns quite differently. After Sarishkan Avetach, my flesh will be safe, is a reference to after dying. Yeah, you thought that? Yeah? In other words, my body will not decay. That's David HaMelech talking. My body will not decay. That's how the Metzudas David lands. And let's dwell on that for a moment, because this is exactly how the Gemara puts it. It's a Gemara in Bava Basra. It's Bava Basra. Gemara says in Bava Basra, and it's on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Let's see. That's a good question. Hard to know, because nobody's ever come back and told us what it's like. But the I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be. It's true. We don't really know. Yes, we can see some examples. Yes,
people who've been uncovered in the Germans and things. They are intact.
Yeah.
And it's all to the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
The person will be restored to what they were.
Yeah, we'll come to it. It seems it is beneficial to the person that the body remains intact. So much so that the Gemara speaks about certain individuals who had this.
Could we say the body will be believing physical resurrection?
Yeah.
This could be like saying people have hope.
Yeah.
There is hope. We believe in Tchias
Amesim.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is the proof. The body has not decomposed.
Well, that's not. No. I wouldn't say that's a proof for Tchias Amesim because it hardly happens to anybody.
A remnant.
Yeah. Maybe. The let me show you the piece of Gemara. Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says. Here it is. Tonu Rabbanon. Shiva lo shalat bo hen rima v'soleo. There are seven individuals whose bodies did not decay. Rima is worms, taleo, not type of worms, maggots and worms. Yeah, their bodies didn't give way to maggots and worms. For Elohim, and here are the people: Avraham, Yitzchak, for Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, Miriam. Uvinyamin ben Yaakov. Yeah, seven individuals. Yaakov. There's seven again. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, Miriam, and Binyamin. Binyamin ben Yaakov. And then the Gemara brings proofs for all of them. For Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the proof is that because they died al pi neshika, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a kiss, and that with that their souls departed. If a person does not die on the basis of the Malach HaMoves, Rashi explains the Malach HaMoves. He quotes the Gemara that the Malach HaMoves gives a person a certain poison, which kills them and also causes the body to decay. Well, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam didn't die through the Malach HaMoves. They died through a personal treatment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the bodies didn't decay. But the Gemara brings proofs for all of them. Then we have the Yesh Omrim, and some say Af David, also David. He would be number 8. Dichsiv, because of our posuk, Af besori yishken lavetach, my flesh will dwell in safety, meaning my flesh will not decay after my death. V'idach, says the Gemara, what about the first opinion? The first opinion excluded David. So this v'yesh omim that includes David has got a very good proof from our posuk, Af besori yishken lavetach. So how did the first opinion learn? How did they learn pshat in our posuk of Af Besori Yishken Avetach? They didn't learn it's a reference that his flesh would not decay after his death. V'idach, the first opinion, how did he learn this posuk? Hahu rachamei hudakaboi. David is simply asking for rachmonus. In other words, it's not foretelling what will happen, saying my flesh will remain intact. But no, he's davening. Please look after me. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara whether to include David or not, and the machlokes hinges on how you learn pshat in our posuk. So The Matzudas David takes this Gemara at face value and says that Atmasar Yishken Avetach is indeed a reference to the fact that his flesh would not decay after his own Petira, after his own demise.
Even my body.
Yeah, that's right. It went decay. That's right. The Meiri has got a third pshat in this. Atmasar Yishken Avetach says the Meiri, it refers to Tchis HaMesim, that my body will come back to life again with Tchis HaMesim. So we've got three pshatim. We've got the Ibn Ezra who learns the pshat that during my lifetime my body will be healthy. We've got the Matzudas David, based on this Gemara in Bava Basra, who says it's a reference to the body not decaying after death. And we've got the Meiri who learns it's a reference to Tchis HaMesim, that my body will once again be resurrected and I'll come back with Tchis HaMesim. With others as well, yeah. Now, let me show you. Here, that's the safer here. Yeah, let me get the right page.
Like three brochas. Like three brochas.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Okay. A quote from the Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, and it's Remez or Os number Tofresh Samaches. Omer Rabba Vohu. What's this idea? Nochein samach libi vayogel kavoti. Omer Rabba Vohu. Gila, when is there rejoicing? B'sha'osh ha'ketanim eskim ha'Torah. When young children learn Torah, then there is gila, then there is celebration. Kavod, when is there honor? B'sha'osh ha'gedolim eskim ha'Torah. When adults learn Torah. That's this juxtaposition of samach libi and vayogel kavoti. And then he brings another pshat, that samach libi dover acher, samach libi is b'divrei Torah, my heart rejoices in words of Torah, and vayogel kavodi is b'melech ha-moshiach, that my heart will rejoice concerning Melech HaMashiach. Why? She'osid lamed memeni. Melech HaMashiach is going to come from me, says David. So therefore, vayogel kavodi, and he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya to that effect. But in other words, the simcha and gila refer to particular things, either Talmud Torah from children and from adults, or learning Torah, or indeed Melech HaMashiach.
How did David HaMashiach come from him?
How would David HaMelech know that Mashiach would come from him? I have no idea.
Because there's a tradition, it's from Ruth, his grandmother.
Yeah.
The tradition was that she was righteous, and that this marriage only took place because Mashiach would come from him.
I have no idea. Don't know. Yeah, but it seemed that from this medrash, it would appear he was well aware. Yeah.
My question was prior to his reign.
Yeah.
It was known at the time of Ruth that Mashiach would come from the kingdom. So that's how David Melech knew this.
Yes, David is in the line from Ruth.
Yeah.
So you ultimately from Rus and David is Mashiach.
He seems to have known that. Yeah.
But yeah. So were his seven brothers.
He knew it would come from him.
Yeah, because he had been anointed by Shmuel, and therefore it had been fulfilled that he was now the king HaMelech Mashiach. So it must be that way.
Yep. Just one small extra from the Meiri, which I forgot to say, I've just spotted it in my notes. The Meiri learns after Soyish Konavetach has reference to Tchis HaMesim, and then he continues it onto the next pasuk, Kilo Saz of Nashi Lisha'ol, you won't leave my soul Lisha'ol in the grave. In other words, you won't leave me there in the grave, you'll bring me out of the grave with Tchis HaMesim. That's how the Meiri learns. Forgot to say that earlier. Okay. Yeah. Something from the Yalkut Me'am Lois, he says that what we have here with Samach Libi and Vayogel Kavod and Apasorish Kanavetach, he says a person who conquers his Yetzer Hara and really does good deeds will be a very happy person. As he says, he'll be celebrating his whole life. He'll be celebrating, and he says he won't have the internal struggles with his intellect and with his neshama and with his guf. Was it a constant battle that we all suffer with the milchama against our yetzer hara, which leaves us exhausted. Or it should do. Yeah, it should do. He says if a person can conquer the Yetzirah, then he'll actually be, he'll have ultimate simcha. His neshama will be happy, his guf will be happy, his intellect will be happy, he'll experience ultimate simcha. That's how come I'm knows. Okay. Let's
say
now
which is
Sahara. Very nice. I didn't know that reference. Good. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, Kilos Hazov, Nashi Lisha'ol. We'll come back to all these Pasukim. I'm taking them all together. We'll come back to these Pasukim to deal with the other Mepharshim still probably next week. Kilos Hazov, Nashi Lisha'ol. My soul, you will not leave my soul to the grave. Lo Siten Chasidcha, you will not allow your Chosid, your pious one, that is I, says David, Lira Shachas, to see destruction. Yeah, the Ibn Ezra learns from Shatan this that you won't leave my neshama to be destroyed, and therefore I have this tremendous simcha. And I have to read to you this Ibn Ezra. This particular piece of Ibn Ezra is actually on Pasuk Yud Aleph, the next Pasuk, but let's see that Pasuk Yud Aleph and then I'll show you Ibn Ezra. Tedieni Erechaim, show me the way of life, save us mochos with plenty of happinesses or plenty of rejoicings, Espanecho. With you, ni'imos b'mincha, with pleasantness at your right hand side, netzach forever. Now, says the Ibn Ezra, that what our Pesukim are doing is expressing the tremendous joy experienced by the neshama when it isn't simply wiped out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the neshama is given an existence after a person's death, then that gives rise to tremendous simcha. Let me read out this piece of Ibn Ezra.
In Olam Haba.
Yeah. So actually, Louis and Norman, you've got that Ibn Ezra just here. Yeah, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, you've got it there on Pasuk Yud Aleph there. Todieni ki b'mos haguf, when the body dies, oz todieni, then you will inform me, or then you'll show me derech hachayim, the way of life. V'hatam haderech, and the idea behind this derech, which is the Ibn Ezra's word for orach, the way of life, which is derech. V'tam haderech she'e'ele bo el hashamayim, I'll go up through this way to heaven. In other words, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will show me the path to heaven. Le'yosi im malachei elyon, so then I will be able to be together with the heavenly angels. V'ta'am sovas machas, and what's this idea behind this sovas machas in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the plenty of happiness? Espanecha, with you, with your presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyehenneh, that he will benefit, that is, he, David, or his neshama, will benefit, miziv shechinah, from the brightness of the divine presence, v'ta'am todieni, what's this idea of todieni, you'll inform me, ki oz ta'amik sanashama, me'iske ha'olam, because after a person's died, the neshama will take strength from all worldly matters, having been able now to leave all worldly matters behind, the neshama will automatically become stronger. V'sire ayin ba'ayin ha'emes, and the neshama will be able to see eye to eye with the truth. In other words, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. V'tam ni'imos b'mincha netzach, what's the idea? V'tam ni'imos b'mincha, of having pleasantness at your right hand side. Shetisamag al Hashem, the neshama will take delight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's this idea of a time being mincha of the right hand side, kenosin matonus, like a person who gives a gift. In other words, if you give it, and I think I mentioned this last week, but I'm not sure. If a person gives a gift and you give it with your right hand, which is typically your stronger hand, that's a proper gift. I'm giving this to you with my right hand to show you I mean it. If I give it to you with my left hand, it might denote a certain reluctance. You know, I don't really mean this.
You always give tzedakah with your right hand.
Pardon?
Give tzedakah, you always give
tzedakah with your right hand. I didn't know that.
Sometimes the people get offended if you give them with the left hand.
Really? I didn't know that. Never heard of that. Ah, well, I'm left-handed, so I hope I won't offend them, but I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So he says that's the significance of the imos b'mincha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to the neshama and gives it with Hashem's right hand, so to speak, as a genuine gift. Kenosin matanos, like a person gives gifts, ne'imos, of pleasant gifts, le'ohavo, to his beloved friend. And he does so be a minute with his right hand. V'tam lo netzach, what's the title? Lo netzach, it's eternity. Shelot tisakeno matanosov, that his gifts will never come to an end. V'hine, and behold, sachar ha-tzadik mefurish b'mizmer zeh. The reward for a tzadik is mentioned in this mizmer of Tehillim. In other words, this chapter denotes the ultimate reward for a tzadik of going to experience ayin ba'ayin, eye to eye with the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And based on the, and this Ibn Ezra tells us that this chapter enumerates the reward, ultimate reward for tzadikim in Olam HaBa. And the Yalkut Me'amnois points out that on that basis, because of that, there is a minhag to recite this chapter at a shiva house, which is in fact our minhag. Yeah. We do this, yeah. This is why we do it. It's all because these closing pesukim denoting how the neshama will ultimately enjoy the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from the brightness of the Shekhinah. And the Yalkut Me'amnois also points out that there's a minhag to recite. In fact, we also say it at a kavura, I think. I think it's in the before a kavura, I think we say it. Unfortunately, we had a few too many recently. We say this chapter at a kavura as well. And the Yalkut Me'amnois also points out that there's some minhagim to say it on Mitzvah Shabbos before Baruch Hu. But I haven't come across that minhag. Okay, so that's the. That's the Ibn Ezra. The Radak on this Pasuk, on Pasuk Yud, back to Pasuk Yud, yeah? The Radak points out, Ki lo sazav nashi l'sheol, you won't forsake my soul to the grave, lo sitencha sitcha lira shochas, you won't allow your pious one, me, David, lira shochas, to see destruction. The Radak points out that this is simply a parallelism. We've had this before in Tanakh. I have it all the time in Tanakh. A parallelism whereby the first half of a pasuk will often be echoed in the second half of the same pasuk, and that's what we have here. And he points out, "Lo sazov nafshi, you won't forsake my soul," is a parallel wording to "Lo sitein chasidcha, you won't allow your pious one to see destruction." So, in other words, the pasuk brings the same message twice in two different expressions. That's how the Radak points it out.
Plural as opposed to single.
Which one?
I mean, nobody would say about themselves, the pious one. One wouldn't really brag about it like that. And doesn't it really refer to the pious ones?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, so right, you literally made two points there.
Piousness, it would be chasidecho.
Or, yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, so
you're pointing out, so you're making two points there. Number one, you're saying, how come David calls himself a chosid? It seems a strange, he's praising himself to the skies. That's one thing. And a second thing is, you're pointing out, quite correctly, that the word chasidcha is spelt with an extra yud. Right? Now, it's read chasidcha. It's a cricusiv. You hadn't noticed that? Oh, I thought you had it. Oh, okay. Right. Okay, all right. Well, chasidcha is a kriksiv, right? It's written one way and it's read another way. It's written ches samach yud dalad yud chof, which exactly is a plural. The yud at the end of the word makes it a plural. And in fact, if we wouldn't have the vowels printed, we would read it chasidecha. Like in the beginning of Levi, the Pasha V in Sabrocha. I think that's spelt with the Yud. Maybe I'm wrong there. But we would read that Chasidecho, your pious ones. Yes, a plural. So the Kasiv, the way the word is written, it's a plural. But the way it's read, Chasidecho, it's read as though that second Yud does not exist. It's a Kasiv, and I haven't yet seen anybody who comments on it. Exactly. Your pious one is the Kri, is the way we read it, Chasidecha, and your pious ones in the plural, Chasidecha, is the Ksiv. Yeah. Now, I haven't seen anybody comment on it yet, and I've got to still look further to find something on it. I hope I'll find something on it this week. Yeah. But come back to your first point. How come David is calling himself a Chosid? Seems very, very strange. So, let me show you. 1 minute. Yes, here it is. Yeah, it's in this sefer. No. It's a reference to himself. He's saying, "You will not allow me, your pious one, to see destruction." And he is definitely referring to himself as a pious one. So, now, here we go.
Come in up to heaven, my neshama will go up to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So the Yalkut Shemoni comments on this, and it's in the Yalkut Shemoni in Tilim Remez Tofresh Sanach Tes. Listen to this. First of all, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a chosid, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which refers to Hashem as a chosid, but we also do know that David calls himself a chosid. Why? V'David kori atzmi chosid. David calls himself a chosid, shenema, a pasuk in Tehillim, and this pasuk is in Tehillim, chapter Peivov, pasuk base, where the pasuk says, Shomra nafshi, look after, guard my soul. He's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please guard my soul. Ki, because, wait for it, chosid oni, I am a chosid. So that is really clear. He's referring to himself as a chosid. Yeah? Shoma nafshi, please guard my soul, ki chosid oni, because I'm a chosid. Chapter pay, it's, that's in Tilim Peivov, Pasuk Beis. Yeah, chapter Peivov, Pasuk Beis. Shoma nafshi, guard my soul, ki chosid oni, because I'm a chosid. So what's going on here? David is calling himself a chosid. So he doesn't really answer the kasha. How on earth can he do so? But listen to this. Amar Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Alexandri. Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Alexandri, and in the Medrash Shechatov, it's in the name of Rabbi Alexandri alone, without Rav Huna. Kol hashemea kilaloso. Anybody who hears someone cursing him, Vashosik, and is silent and doesn't respond and takes it without a murmur, Nikra Chosid, is called a Chosid, is called a pious person. If a person is insulted and doesn't rise to the bait and doesn't respond angrily, doesn't shout back, exactly, thank you, doesn't shout back, he's called a Chosid, yeah. Unbelievable, yeah. The David Shama Kilalosa, and David heard his own curses. Shimi Ben Gera, is that what you just said?
Doeg.
I don't think Doeg cursed him. Doeg. Doeg reported him. Kalalani Reses. Hey, Kalalani Reses. Kalalani, Kalalani Reses. Yeah, was that the beginning of Malachim Aleph?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the beginning of Malachim Aleph. When he's. That's it. Beginning. Oh, of course, yeah. Norman's from Cedra, I think. Yeah,
I can't claim it. I don't
know it. Yeah. But who killalani killalani retzes? Thank you very much. Yeah. The Shimi Ben Gera, who cursed David. When David was running away from Avshalom, on his way out of Yerushalayim, Shimi Ben Gera, who was descended from Shaul, saw him and cursed him. What was his expression? He said to David, say, Kelev, he called him a dog, get out, Ish Hadomim, Ish Bli Yo'al, he called him, you're a man of blood, you're a murderer, you're a worthless person. He cursed David terribly. And Yoav ben Zeruiah, who was with David at the time, David's nephew, offered to David, I'm quoting from memory, so I haven't quite got it right. Shall I go over and shall I kill him? And David said, no, don't kill him. He's cursing me because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has programmed him to curse me. Leave him alone. And he allowed Shimi ben Gera to live. There's a Targum on Megillas Esther. I'm going to say this, it's such a delight. I can't withhold this from you. There's a Targum on Megillas Esther. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. The Targum on that posuk says, Shimi is Shimi ben Gera. Mm. So Mordechai was descended from Nishimi ben Gera. Says the Targum, David allowed Shimi to live in order that he could still father Mordechai. And Mordechai was a descendant, or it wasn't Mamash a son of Shimi, but he was a descendant of Shimi. Yeah. In fact, later on in Megillas Esther, the Targum gives the whole genealogy of Mordechai and also of Haman. So you get the whole right the way back to Avram Avinu, because don't forget Haman was descended from Avram, yeah. Because Haman's descendant of Avraham, like you are, yeah, yeah. Because he was descended from Eliphaz, who is the son of Esau, who is the son of Yitzchak, yeah. So the Enochel of Avram Avinu. So Anyway, well, how do we get on to this? I've gone on off to tangent. Sorry.
Say
yeah, that's it. That's it. So because David did not allow Yoav to kill Shimi, and he took it on the chin, and he said he's been programmed by Kodesh Baruch Hu to curse me. Therefore, David is called a chosid. On that basis, called a chosid. But David shomak el elos of a shosak lachach nikra chosid. Therefore, he's called a chosid. So he refers to himself as a chosidcha. I am your chosid. I don't know. I once said it over in this year. I heard it from Rabbi Dunner. Yes. She was insulted at a wedding. Yeah. Shall I say the story? I'll say it quickly. Yeah, a woman who was insulted at a wedding. Someone came over to her and started insulting her and insulting her husband. I don't know. Yes. And she was about to respond, you know, to answer back. Yeah. And the lady sitting next to her said, shh, don't say anything. Don't respond. Don't react. Yeah. And this lady continued insulting and insulting, and the whole time this lady was like itching to respond. Yeah. And the lady next to her sort of calmed her down and said, don't say a word, just keep absolutely silent. Why? Because this lady who was insulted, Nebuch, was childless. And she said, you got no idea of knowing what rewards there are for someone who's insulted and does not respond. So don't say a word. And she didn't answer back, and she was blessed with a child. Probably soon afterwards, in order to link it to the story. So, yeah, amazing. Okay. I heard that from my wonderful Rabbi Dunner. My wonderful Rabbi Dunner. Yeah. So this is, how do we go? Oh, so that answers the question about, well, it doesn't quite answer it, but it explains a little bit about how David can call himself a chosid. Yeah? Calls himself a chosid. Let's go back to the Metzudas David on this pasuk. I've got a bit of a kasha on the Metzudas David on this pasuk. The Metzudas David on the previous pasuk, I just mentioned the kasha, I don't have an answer. Metzudas David on the previous pasuk understood Af Besori Yishkon Lavetach to be a reference to the body not decaying after death, like the Gemara in Bava Basra. That's how the Metzudas David understood the phrase in Pasuk Tes, Af Besori Yishkon Lavetach. However, in our pasuk, in Pasuk Yud, he says, Ki lo sa'azov nafshi, you won't allow my soul, says the Metzudas David, lo sechale nafshi bekever im haguf, you won't destroy my soul in the grave together with the guf, together with the body. Which to me makes me think that maybe he's saying that the body may well decay, but don't destroy my soul with it. So to me it sounds a bit of a contradiction in the Metzudas David.
The soul doesn't remain in the grave.
No, the soul doesn't remain in the grave. It means don't wipe out my neshama. Don't wipe out my neshama after death in the same way as you'll wipe out my guf after death. Im haguf. So maybe that's a bit of a contradiction in the Metzudas David. Maybe the answer is, he's saying, in the same way as you won't wipe out my guf in the grave, also please do not wipe out my soul in the grave. Something like that. Maybe that.
The body will not decay. Obviously the neshama is going to be okay.
Yeah, it doesn't bring it as a kavachomer. He should say, don't wipe out my, in the same way as you won't wipe out my guf, also please don't wipe out my neshama. Yeah. Oh, right, Norman, I don't want to get rid of you, but just to let you know, you need to go. You okay if I carry on? Should I carry on a bit? Okay. Yeah. Okay, now let me show you a Gemara in Eiruvin. Let's get this Gemara, Eiruvin. Here we are. Right, it's Gemara in Eiruvin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.
Just ask again, why do you call yourself pious?
Because he heard the curse from Shimi ben Gera and did not respond. Oh. And that makes a person called a chosid. Yeah.
He's not boasting, he's saying
a fact of life. A fact of life, I'm a chosid. That's right. Yes.
I'm a chosid.
I didn't say that, but you're saying a very valid point. Yes. That he's not boasting, he's just expressing the reality of it. The reality is, I'm a chosid because I was cursed by Shimi Ben Gera and I didn't respond. Yeah. Okay, let me show you Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud. It's not your Zayin, is it? It's your Tess. Yes, it's here. 1 second. Yeah, here we are. Yud Tess. No, it's not. Yeah, sorry. Once again, Erevin Daf Yud Tess Amud Aleph. Let me find this right. Here we are. Om Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Zayin Shemos Yesh LeGehenem. We're going to talk about Gehenem. Gehenem has seven names in Tanakh. Ve'eluhena, and here are the seven names. Sha'ol. Hey. Sha'ol. Va'avadun. Uve'er Shachas. Uver Sha'un. Ve'tit Hayovin. Ve'tzalmoves. Ve'eretz Hatachtis. So the Gemara is going to go through all seven of these, bringing Pesukim to show how Gehenem is called. No, that's exactly what the Gemara asks.
I just noticed this.
Exactly. Yeah. The Gemara asks that Kasha, how come Gehenem itself is the name? Yes, exactly. And the Gemara answers, no, Gehenem is not a noun. Gehenem, says the Gemara, is an adjective.
Description.
A description of the place. The Gemara goes into it. After this section, that's the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara asks the Kasha, what about the word Gehenem itself? And the Gemara answers, no, that's not a noun. All these lists of seven are nouns as brought in Tanakh for Gehenem. But the word Gehenem itself is an adjective describing it, not a noun. You're mechamin to the Gemara's Kasha there. That was you, yeah? So you're sponsoring next week's Kiddush? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara brings proofs for all of these. Now, what about the word Sha'ol? The word Sha'ol, the Gemara learns it from a pasuk in Yonah. It's Perek Gimel in Yonah, where Yonah says, Mibeten Sha'ol Shivati, Shamat HaKoli, when he's inside the fish. And Yonah damas HaKodesh Baruch Hu from inside the fish. And he says, Mibeten Sha'ol, from the stomach of the Sha'ol, or from the very innards, that's a better translation, from the very innards of the Sha'ol, Shivati, I've cried out to you. Shamata Koli, you heard my voice. Says the so from that, the Gemara learns from this pasuk that the word Sha'ol is one of the names of Gehenem. that Yonah is saying, I'm stuck here in Gehenem. You know, I'm here in Gehenem. And the word Gehenem is described by the word Sha'ol. That's the word Sha'ol. Yeah, like a prison inside the fish. Yeah. So that's, and then the Gemara brings Pesukim for all of the others. Now, when it comes to Be'er Shachas, one of the names of Gehenem is Be'er Shachas, literally a pit of destruction. Dichsiv, well, how do we know that Gehenem is called a Be'er Shachas? Dichsiv, he quotes our Pesuk. Kilo sa'azov nafshi l'sha'ol, you will not forsake my soul to the Sha'ol. Lo seten chasidcha liros Shachas, you will not allow your pious one to see Shachas, says the Gemara, based on that, Shachas is one of the names of Gehenem, and we get it from our Pasuk, Shachas. That's if then we know that Be'er Shachas is one of the names of Gehenem. That's how the Gemara puts it. So Tosfos makes a very interesting point. Tosfos says, why do we learn the word Sha'ol? The word Sha'ol is another one of the seven names for Gehenem. Yes. We learn the word Sha'ol from the Pasuk in Yonah. From the Pasuk in Yonah, Mibeten Sha'ol Shivati. I cried out from Beten Sha'ol. Says Tosfos, we don't have to learn it from that Pasuk. We could have learned it from our Pasuk as well. Nonetheless, from our Pasuk, we can learn two words of Gehenem from the same Pasuk. Kilo sa'azev nafshi l'sha'ol. It's in our Pasuk too. So why learn it from the Pasuk in Yonah when you can learn it from our Pasuk, from the same Pasuk as we learned the Be'er Shachas from? Yeah? And Tosfos answers that Tosfos doesn't really give it as a question. He says, it's absolutely right. We could do. We could, in effect, use the Gemara could have learnt Sha'ol from here, as well as learning Be'er Shachas from here. Yeah. The Gemara could also have learnt Sha'ol from here. And Tosfos said that, yes, you could have done. Yeah. But of course, that really begs the question, well, why doesn't the Gemara do that then? Yeah? Why complicate matters with an extra Pasuk when one Pasuk teaches us both? Yeah. So the answer is brought in the Ben Yehoyada, who answers that if we have a choice between bringing a proof from Nevi'im or bringing it from Kesuvim, we would prefer to bring it from Nevi'im. That Nevi'im has, I suppose Nevi'im may have a higher level of Kedusha, I don't know exactly, but he says Nevi'im takes preference over Kesuvim. Rather like if we got an option, if we could learn a pasuk from the Torah or from Nevi'im, we would always prefer to learn it from the Torah itself.
And
Yonah
was a Novi.
And Yonah is from Nevi'im. Yeah, Yonah is one of the Treyasa Nevi'im, one of the 12 Nevi'im, right? One of those 12 Nevi'im. So we'd rather learn it from Yonah, who's a Novi, rather than from David HaMelech in Tehillim, which of course Tehillim forms part of Kesuvim. Says the Ben Yoyada, we prefer to learn from Nevi'im, even though David came much earlier in history than Yonah. Yonah lived in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. David lived long before the first Beis HaMikdash was built, right? It was only his son Shlomo built the first Beis HaMikdash. So David came much earlier in history than Yonah. So you might think, well, we'd prefer to learn it from earlier in history. We'd prefer to learn it from David than we would from Yonah. Says, so Kamash Malan from him. We'll learn, no, that's not the case. We'd rather learn it from Nevi'im rather than from Kesuvim. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Okay. It's two words really. It's Gei Hinnom. Gei is a valley, and Hinnom, the Gemara there in Erevin Yud Tes Amud Aleph, says the word Hinnom comes from the word Chinom. It's a related word to chinom, which means free. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, something is for nothing. Yeah, and the Gemara learns from it, and I don't remember exactly how it works. The word chinom is a reference to illicit relationships, in particular incestuous relationships. And therefore it's related to, and that's why it's based on that the Gemara gives you the answer to your kasha, Johnny, that Gehenom is not a noun, but an adjective. It's the valley for those who have indulged themselves, as in the word hymn. All forms of indulgences, in particular illicit relationships.
Gay is a valley.
Gay is a valley. Yes, it's normally spelled Gimel Yud Aleph. Is a valley.
Rishonim
that
have this place.
Yes,
Gehinnom,
don't they? Yes, I've heard of that. Is that what they call it? It's Gay.
I think
they're
called
Gehinnom.
I'm sure it is.
Go.
No? It's just called
Gehinnom.
Just
Gehinnom.
Gehinnom.
Ah, but that's obviously related to this.
Yeah. Related to Gehinnom.
Yeah. Okay. Can I say
Zerkifov? Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen very dramatic in Israel. It's deep down.
So based on our pasuk Lo Sa'aziv Nafshi Lisha'ol, a quote from the this is quote from Avostrav Nossen in Perek Mem. Yeah, I've got it here in the Sefer on Midrashim, which is a liquid to Midrashim. Kol Mezakeh Rabbim in the Gagalin Aveira Al Yodo. Anybody who provides a zechus for other people, someone who encourages is Avostrav Nossen, which is similar. Yeah, anybody who is mezakeh the rabbim, anybody who provides a zechus for many other people, in other words, encourages other people to do mitzvahs, in the galgalin avir al yodo, an avir won't come his way. Why? Shelo yehi you tell me dov nuchlin ha'olam abo v'hu yered l'sha'ol. Because otherwise you'd have a crazy situation that the person who encouraged his talmidim to do mitzvahs, the Talmidim inherit Gan Eden, Olam Haba, and he goes down to Gehenom. So, if he encourages others to do mitzvahs, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him from Averus. Why? Because if he ends up doing Averus, his Talmidim are all Tzadikim, and he ends up a Rosha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him extra protection. And we learn it, Shenema, Ki lo sa'azev nafshi l'sha'ol. From our pasuk, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, won't allow me to go down to the Sha'ol, go down to Gehenom. And now the converse is also true. V'chol amachti es harabim, anybody who makes other people do averus, In Raspiki Miyod Elasis Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow him the opportunity to do Teshuvah. Why? Kedei Shele Yehu Talmidov Yerdim Mishael. He encouraged others to do Averis, so they all go down to Gehenim, and if he's done Teshuvah, then who knows Cheles Olam Habo, and he gets Olam Habo. And the Gemara and the Medrash goes, and the Yavsham Nosson goes to bring a posuk from that to prove that as well. Yeah, it's a certain injustice there, isn't it? Now, so from here, from our posuk, Kilo Sazav Nafshi Lisha'ol, you won't allow me, says David, to go down Lisha'ol, down to the grave or down to Gehenim. I've encouraged others to do mitzvahs, and therefore I'll have a certain protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I won't be allowed, I won't have opportunities to do Avera. That's how.
The Rosh who encouraged people to do Averos is Hashem doesn't give him the opportunity to do Teshuvah, but he can choose it himself.
Yeah, I once heard that from Rav Matisyahu Salomon. The expression "Ein Maspikin Biyodo Lasas Teshuvah" means he's not given divine assistance to do Teshuvah. In other words, which makes Teshuvah really, really hard, but not impossible. Yeah, I heard that from Rav Matisyahu Salomon when I was in Leiden Gateshead. Yeah. Let me show you a piece of Yerushalmi. Gemara Yerushalmi in Brachas. Let's find this. The Gemara in Yerushalmi Brachas. It's on page Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph in Brachas. It's on Perek Dalad and it's on Halacha Base in the Yerushalmi. Brings the Tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akono. Rav Nechunya ben Akono famously recited a Tefillah upon arrival at the Base of Medrash.
Was he with the carrot tree or something?
I don't think so. Well, I know, I don't know. Rav Nechunya ben Akono, he recited a special tefillah when he arrived in the Beis HaMedrash, a tefillah for Hatzlacha in his learning, and when he left the Beis HaMedrash as well, he recited a tefillah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having allowed him the opportunity to learn. Now, and there are two different versions of this tefillah, one in the Bavli and one in the Yerushalmi. I'll read the one from the Yerushalmi, quotes our pasuk. What did he say when he arrived in the Beis HaMedrash? What did Rav Nechunya ben Akono say? It's a filler. Yirotzim ufanecho Hashem elekai v'elekei avesai. Shelo akpid keneged chaveirai. I shouldn't get upset with any of my chaveirim. You can imagine, he's learning with the chavrusa and they disagree on the pshat and you know, he doesn't want to get up. He said, I should be able to sort out my learning without getting upset with any of my chaveirim. And my chavirim shouldn't become upset with me. We shouldn't make mistakes in our learning. We shouldn't declare something which is tahor to be tommy. We shouldn't declare something which is tommy to be tahor. We shouldn't declare that which is forbidden to be permitted, that which is permitted to be forbidden. If I make a mistake like that, I'll end up very embarrassed both in the lamazeh and the lamaboh. That was his tefillah upon arrival in the Beis HaMedrash. Uvitziyase mahu. And then what did he say when he left the Beis HaMedrash? He said, Moda ani lefanecho, I thank you, Hashem elekai v'elekei avesai, shenasata chelki miyesh Beis HaMedrash, that you gave me my portion in those who sit in the Beis HaMedrash to learn. Uvotek nesiyas, and also you gave my portion in the portion of people who sit in the shul. V'lenosato chelki, and you didn't give me a portion in life, bevote taratios, in the theatres. Uvavote karkasios, and in the circuses. Yeah? I didn't become an entertainer. I didn't become an entertainer on the stage, nor did I become a regular member of the audience. Yeah?
Acrobat.
Yeah, well, my chelek in life is in the Beis HaMedrash. I'm not in places of public entertainment. That's what he's saying. She'ani omel vehena amelim. We say it very similar to this in the siyum. She'ani omel. Norman's made many siyum. She'ani omel vehena amelim. Because I work, and those who are in the theatres also work. Ani shoked. I am diligent. Vehem shoked him, and they're also diligent. You know, to get a good performance in the theatre, you gotta practice hard. You gotta attend all the rehearsals. But ani omel lirash Gan Eden, I'm working to inherit Gan Eden. Vehein amelim leveshachas, and they are working to inherit Gehenim, to go down to the pit of destruction. Shenema. Ki anar pasuk ki lo sazuk nafshi l'sheol lo sitin chasid choliris shochas. Our pasuk, don't forsake me to the sheol, and you won't allow me, your chasid, to see shochas. So this is the tefillah of gratitude of Rav Nachum ben Akana when he left the Beis Medrash to say thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me my chelik in olam haba. He quotes this pasuk exactly. Yes, he quotes this pasuk.
The performers were not willing performers, and they ended up in Shahar.
The Roman circuses, yeah.
Yeah, and the others as well. They weren't the only ones. The circus was it's different to the Olympic Games, where there was competitions. So they were fights to the death.
Fights to the death.
They were forced to.
Yeah, that kind of circus. Yeah, maybe that refers to that kind of circus. Yeah.
The Romans are sick.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Yeah. How they,
yeah. He's talking about Jewish people in circuses.
Well, possibly.
Because Goyim don't have the Torah to learn.
Yeah, possibly.
So excused, I suppose, no? Goyim. So what are they going to do otherwise?
Yeah.
They could be unwilling performers.
Unwilling performers, yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
That's it, yeah. Okay. Yeah, should we carry on? Let's move on to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Tadieni Arachaim, inform me of the way of life. Sevach Samachos, with plenty of simcha, of happiness. Espanecha, in your presence. Ni'imos mimincha netzach, pleasantness at your right hand side forever. Oh, now Rashi learns that this is not a prayer. David is not expressing himself, please show me the way of life, please grant me this simcha, please give me a portion in Olam Haba. He's not saying that. Says Rashi, he's simply foretelling the future. He's saying this is what is going to happen. That's how Rashi lands. It's simply an expression, this is what is going to happen. Foretelling the future, that after my death, I will go to Olam Haba. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's how Rashi lands it. Others disagree with that. But the then Rashi goes on to explain what's this idea of Sova Samachos. Sova is an expression of being sated. Plenty of happiness. So Rashi learns it's simcha she'ein lo keitz v'sichle. It's a joy without end. This and i.e. Olam Haba. Yeah, it's a joy without end. And espanecha, what's this idea of espanecha? Says Rashi, it's the bechas hakarov aloch, with the group who are close to you. In other words, close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the group of neshamas and Olam Haba, which are close to you, which enjoy a closeness to you in Olam Haba. That's how Rashi learns. Now, the Ibn Ezra. We already learned this Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, you know, how this is the whole path to Olam Haba, seeing Malachim, and Ayin Ba'ayin, eye to eye contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Radak disagrees with Rashi. Right? Rashi learns that this pasuk is not a tefillah, it's simply expressing what's going to happen in the future. I will go to Olam Haba. The Radak learns it is a tefillah. He's saying, please grant me Olam Haba. Please grant me the joys of Olam Haba. And he quotes Pesukim, and the Radak explains, what's this idea of ponecha? What's the pasuk say? Sevas machas es ponecha. Plenty of joy, es ponecha, in your presence. What's this idea of panecha? So the Radak quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, and it's chapter Kuf Mem, pasuk Yud Dalud, where the pasuk says, "Ach tzadikim yodu lishmecha, tzadikim will give thanks to your name, yeshvu yesharim, those who are straight will dwell es panecha, in your presence." So the Radak quotes that pasuk from the last pasuk of chapter Kuf Mem, and Tehillim, that the word panecha means in your presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he learns it. And then what's that idea of being mincha? There'll be pleasantness. Ni'imos be a mincha netzach, pleasantness in your, be a mincha at your right hand side. So there, the Radak on this, the Radak quotes another pasuk in Tehillim, it's chapter Kuf Yud, and it's pasuk Aleph, where the pasuk says, Ne'um Hashem Ladoni, so says Hashem Ladoni, my master. Sorry, I missed that. I'm sorry. Le David Mizmer, Ne'um Hashem Ladoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to my master, Shave li yamini, sit at my right hand side. So the Mefreshim on this pasuk explain that this chapter is not written by David, but written by a Talmud of David. Someone very close to David, who calls David his master, and it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ne'um Hashem, God says, Ladoni, to my master David, he says, Shev li'yamini, dwell on my right hand side, as a great siman of kavod. You, David, you'll have prime position sitting on my right hand side. So that's the Radak quotes this pasuk to illustrate our pasuk. You must be mincha, pleasantness at your right hand side. So it's a prime position dwelling on the right hand side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, the.
Would it say my master will dwell at your right hand side? Is that what you just said?
Say that again.
My master David will dwell at your right hand side.
Exactly. Would
well, has, no. Hashem is saying. Yeah. Hashem says about says to David, yeah. You David, yeah. You have the great privilege of dwelling on my right hand side. Yeah. It's a prime position. Yeah. Oh, now the Gemara's. Oh yes. Oh yeah. Let me show you a piece of Mitzvah David on this pasuk. You actually got the those who got the Mitzvah David, you see it there. Mitzvah David says Todieni on the word Todieni. It's just at the bottom there. Todieni. It's pasuk Yud Aleph. You see it there. Todieni. About the fifth line down. It is a bit small. Yeah. Ten b deor. Give me the knowledge. Laleches beorach to go on the way. Hamaviyah chayim hamitzchim, which brings about everlasting life. Lihios soveya to be satisfied. Besmachos with joys. B'masha ere espanecha with that which I will see in your presence. That the tzaddikim derive benefits from the brightness of the Shekhinah. Now, what he's quoting here, what the Mitzvah David is quoting here, is a Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara says in Brachos is on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara describes Olam Haba. Here we are. Margula b'fume derav. This was a common phrase, a delightful phrase, which he said often in the by Rav. Lo k'olam hazeh olam haba. Olam hazeh is nothing like olam haba. Ha olam haba ein bo. What goes on in olam haba? We all want to know. Ha olam haba ein bo lo achila. There's no eating. Velo shesia. There's no drinking. Velo priya verivya. There's no procreation. Velo masa matan. There's no business deals. Velo kina. Velo sinna. There's no kina. There's no jealousy. Velo sinna. There's no hatred. Velo sacharis. And I can't remember what sacharis means. I think it means anger, but I'm not sure. Ela bat. What goes on in Olam Haba? Tzadikim yoshvim. Tzadikim sit. Ve'atrosehem barashehem. With their crowns on their heads. Ve'nehenim miziv ha-shekhinah. And they derive benefit from the brightness of the Shekhinah. So, that's, and this is the Mitzvah David. This is the Gemara that Mitzvah David is quoting from Brachos Yitzayin Amud Aleph. That's what David HaMelech is saying here. That I will please show me the path to this wonderful chilek in Olam Haba. Now, piece of Medrash Shechatov here. Here we go. Medrash Shechatov. Yeah. Right. There's one of the issue quotes. It's fine. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Piece of Medrash Shechatov. Let me just get the few quotes here. Yeah. Okay. The Medrash Shechatov says.
It's a spiritual indulgence.
Spiritual indulgence. Spiritual, yeah. Oh, I couldn't have put it better. Yeah. Spiritual indulgence. Yeah. Trying to remember that phrase. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Spiritual indulgence is exactly it. Yeah. Now, Omer of, here's the Medrash Shechatov on these phrases. On the phrase Todieni Erachaim. David HaMelech is saying, show me the way of life. He's saying to Hashem, please teach me or show me the way of life. Omer Rav Yudan. Said Rabbi Yudan, Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Todieni Erachaim, show me the way of life. Omar lo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to him. And what we're going to see now are many different replies given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David in response to this request. David is saying, please show me the way of life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, ah, David, Chaim Atabohi, you want life? Tzafi liyira, turn to hope, turn to fear. You should take fear as your as the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the key to Chaim, is the key to life. It's Chaim you want? Well, you'll find it with Yira, with Yiras Hashem. And he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, and it's in chapter Yud, Pasuk Kav Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem, fear of God, Tosif Yomim, will increase days. In other words, you get a long life. You want Chaim, Todiyen Yira Chaim, you want life? Well, I'll tell you how to find life. You find life with Yiras Hashem. Why? Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter Yud, Pasuk Kav Zayin, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim, fear of God increases the length of your days. Yeah, that's how Rav Yudan puts it. Rabbi Zaria said, Omer David. David said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Olamim, Master of the World, Tadiyen Yerachayim, please show me the way to life. Omalo, said David, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to him, Chaim Atboi, you want life? I'll show you how to find life. Tzafei LaTorah, turn to Torah, go and indulge yourself in Torah, immerse yourself in Torah. Shenema, and he quotes the Pasuk. No, but you're close. It's again in Mishlei. All these come from Mishlei, and it's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's chapter Gimel, pasuk Yud Ches. Eitz Chayim Hi Lamachazikim Bo. The Torah is an Eitz Chayim. So David's saying, I would like Chayim to show me the way of life. So Hashem says, right, you want life? Go for Eitz Chayim, which is the Torah, which is the tree of life. Yeah, go for Eitz Chayim. You'll see how all these Tanoim quote pasukim from Mishlei in response, as Hashem's response to David's request for Chaim. David asks for Chaim, and Hashem says, okay, you want Chaim? I'll show you where to find it. And every single one of them quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Next one. That was Rabbi Zaria. Yeah. Rava Omar. Omar Dolif Nakosh Bachot says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tadiyen Yerach Chaim, show me the way of life. Omar lo. So Hashem replied, Chaim at boy, you want life? Asei ve'echol. Do and then eat. Do shenema, and he quotes our pasuk, ni'imos bi'mincha netzach, that pleasantness is at your right hand side forever. It seems that, I'm not sure if I've understood this one entirely, but it's quoting our pasuk in Tehillim, I say do, in other words, go and do the Torah, keep the Torah, ve'echol, and then you'll eat the rewards, you'll enjoy the rewards. That's how it's put here. However, in a different medrash, a slight variation on this medrash gives it slightly differently. Let me find this. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies to him, if you want life, so it's a slight variation on this. If you want life, then the place to find it. Oh, wait a minute, it must be in here. Yeah, it's in here. If you want life, you'll find it through Yisurim, through physical pain, through physical hardship. If it's life you want, you'll find it through physical pain. And it's brought here in the Yalkut Shimoni. It's in number, it's Simon Tofresh Ayin. And it's brought in the name of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira Omar. Omar Tavit Fnakosh Bachadov said Tavit Bachadov, Ben Shalodom, Todiyeni Yerachaim, show me the way of life. Omar Lo, Hakosh Bachos Hashem said to him, David, Chaimat boy, you want life? Tsefei Li Yisurim. Go and find Yisurim. Why? Because of a posuk, again in Mishlei. It's Mishlei chapter Yud. Yeah, chapter Yud. No, wrong one. Sorry, one second. 1 minute, Vav Kaf Gimel. Yes, this is it. Sorry, it's chapter Vav, Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Kinemitz of Asura Ur. famous passage, Kinemitz of Asirah. Kinemitz of Asirah. Mitzvah says, a candle and the Torah is light. For Derech Chayim, this is the point, for Derech Chayim, the way of life, is Tochachos Musar, is having a jolly good telling off with pain. A painful telling off. So Rabbi Zeira says that David asks for life. You want life, you need to undergo physical hardships. Tochachos Musar. That's how he learns it. Sorry, David had a very hard life. Yeah. Possibly. Possibly.
Just me saying, if I give you Musa, your life will be more worthwhile.
Yeah.
That's what seems to be the message. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, something, yes, certainly along those lines, that's right. Yeah. Another version of this is to quote another, and I can't see now where I got this from, either in the Yalkut Shemeni or the Medrash HaChatov. Another version is to quote another Pasuk in Mishlei, it's chapter 9, Pasuk Beis. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, if it's life you want, then guard my mitzvahs. Shemer mitzvosai, guard my mitzvahs, vechyeh, and live. So all of these, David is saying, show me the way of life to Diyeni Erechaim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, if it's life you want, I'll show you the way to life. It's through the Torah, or it's through keeping mitzvahs, or it's through pain, and so on. All different versions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to David. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Let me show you again, and let me show you now. Here we are. In the Medrash HaTov, Medrash HaTov learns, and I'll take it from the Yalkut Shemoni, very similar in the Yalkut Shemoni, that our pasuk refers to the Eini Erechaim. Yalkut Shemoni, page 1 second, 893. Here we are. 893. Here we are. Yeah, it's in the Yalkut Shemoni, and it's in Tofrish Ayin that here we are. Dova Acher. What's another? Dava Acher. Erechaim. What does it mean? Tediyeni Erechaim. The way of life. What is this way of life? Elu Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Living the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah properly is Erechaim. Is a way of life. That's the way of life. And then, what does it mean? Mahu Ni'imos B'Mincha Netzach. The closing phrase here. Ni'imos B'Mincha Netzach. Everlasting pleasantness at your right hand side. Omer Abavohu Ze HaLulav. It refers to the lulav. Shehu K'mishu Notzeach V'Notel B'Min. Like a person who's victorious and holds the lulav in his right hand. Why? Because the point being that we hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. That is, right-handed people do it. I'm left-handed. I hold the lulav in my left hand with the esrog in my right hand. Why? Because the right hand, typically, most people are right-handed, use the right hand, the stronger hand, for three mitzvahs. Lulav, and hadassim, and aravus. While the esrog is only one mitzvah, so the weaker hand has the one mitzvah only, which is the esrog. That's the normal way of doing it, which is why left-handed people reverse it. Left-handed people have the lulav in their left hand with three mitzvahs in their left and the one mitzvah in the right. But the point being, here the Yalkut Shemoni goes on to say that it's like a person. Oh, I have to read this out to you. Let me read this out to you. Barosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Olam Ovim Nafonav Kidnei Morin. Every person in the world passes before Kodesh Baruch Hu, Jew and non-Jew alike. Af Yisrael Omdim Nafonav Badin. Also, Klal Yisrael stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu in judgment. V'Umas Olam Omrim, and the nations of the world say, Onu Zachinu V'Nitzachnu Badin. We've been successful in our judgments. We've been judged favorably. But the inodam yedea, but in truth, a person doesn't know me notzach. You don't know who's really been successful in din. The din on Rosh Hashanah, we don't know if we've come through or not. Im Yisrael, im Masolam, whether it's Klal Yisrael or the Masolam, who's come through successfully? Of our Rosh Hashanah goes by. V'chol Yisrael boim b'yom Kippurim, and now Klal Yisrael will come to before Kodesh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur. Umisanim, and they're fasting. Umisatvim levonim, and they're wearing white clothes, a kittel. Of our Yom, and we daven for Hashem. Of our Yom Kippurim, ve'enod miyadea leminim chalu. Yom Kippur goes by, and we don't know who exactly has been forgiven. Leminim chalu avenosav. Who's been forgiven of their sins? Imli Yisrael, imli ovdei elilim. Whether it's Klal Yisrael or whether it's the idol worshippers. Kivin shehegia yom tov rishon shel chag. But once the first day of Sukkot comes along, what happens? Kol Yisrael yotzeim. All of Klal Yisrael go out. The hakatanim agadolim, young and old alike. the lulavehem biyadehem, and their lulavim are in their hands, right? We hold our lulavim. Miyad, immediately, hakol yedim, everybody knows, shenitzchi Yisrael badin, that it's klal Yisrael have been successful in battle, v'nimchalu avinosem, and their sins have been forgiven. The point being, the holding of the lulav is like holding up holding up your spear in battle. Right? You've done battle. You had to do battle with it through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And they have said to me, Tshuva. Now comes Sukkot, holding the spear aloft, or nowadays holding the rifle aloft, is a simon of a victorious army. Likewise, we hold our lulavim aloft. And that's a simon that we've been victorious. And the point being was, we hold them in our right hand. That's ne'imos b'yamincha. We're holding our lulavim in our right hand, and that's considered ne'imos. That's pleasantness in the right hand. That's how the Al Kishmeni brings it. Then the Yal Kishmoni goes on to say as well that this sova samochos which we have, the word sova is not written with a vav. You'd normally expect it to be written sin vav ve'sayin. Without the vav, it could read sheva. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, it's a remez, sheva samachos, seven celebrations. What are the seven celebrations? He says, Elu sheva mitzvah sheva chag. These are the seven mitzvahs on the chag. Chag is always a reference to Sukkot. Seven mitzvahs on Sukkot. What are they? Arba'a minim sheba lulav. The four species of lulav, esrog, hadassim, and aravos. That's four. Sukkah is five. Chagiga is your current chagiga. That's six. The simcha is shalmei simcha, the special kabbonis that a person brings at Yom Tov time to celebrate Yom Tov, shalmei simcha. Those are seven mitzvahs. So seva simachos is a reference to sheva simachos, seven celebrations, these seven. At Sukkot time, absolutely. The Pasuk refers to Sukkot time. Yeah. So it's not just Nimis Mimincha, a reference to holding the lulav in our right hand, it's also Sevat Smachos, which are Shevat Smachos, seven celebrations, especially at Sukkot time. And we're almost done here. One last thing from the Gemara in Arachin. I learnt from your late father-in-law, from Avram Abba Maya. He once said in school, he once said that people refer to the Masecht as Erechin. He said that's the wrong pronunciation, it should be Arochin. And I've heard Arov echo that as well. And I'm sure he learnt it from your father-in-law as well. Yeah? Arochin. It's just a grammatical mispronunciation. A lot of people get it wrong. Masechta is called Arochin, not Erechin. Anyway, so Gemara says in Arochin, I've got it right, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And we've actually quoted this Gemara on an earlier chapter. The Gemara says here, Tesanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kina shel Mikdash. Kina was the harp. Yes, it was a harp. Thank you. Resident Levi. Yeah, Kina is the harp. The Kina in the base of Mikdash, shel Shivas Nimin Hoya. It has seven strings on it. Shenema, and quotes our posuk, Sovas Samachos Espanecha. Seven Samachos. Seven, seven stringed harp in the base of Mikdash. Don't forget, Tilim set to music and played and sung in the base of Mikdash. Altikri Sova, don't read it as Sova. Elo Sheva, and the Marshal points out, because the word Sova is spelt without a vav, so it could equally read the word Sheva. Vesheli Mosa Mashiach, and this bit we've quoted earlier, Vesheli Mosa Mashiach, the harp in the base of Mikdash after Mashiach comes, or the harp of the times of Mashiach, is Shemona, has got eight strings. Shenema, Lamnatsech Al Hashminis, we had this earlier chapter your base. Lamnatsech Al Hashminis is, what does it mean Al Hashminis? Al Nimo Shminis, on the eighth string. So that harp has got eight strings. Shalom Abba, the harp of Olam Abba has eser, has ten strings. Shenemar Ale Osser for Ale Novel, Ale Osser from Mizrach Shalom Shabbos.
Nevel
is a violin, I think. Yeah? Are you sure? I think.
Yeah.
Which is a type of harp, isn't it? It's a plucked instrument. Yeah, a lyre. Okay, so it's a lyre. So it's a plucked instrument. Okay, fine. As opposed to a violin, I always get mixed up between the. So nevel is a violin.
Modern rhythms, nevel is a harp. But then you can't.
So that's just a reference again from our pasuk Sovas Machos, that the harp in the times of the Beis Hamikdash had seven strings. Sovas Machos and Shevas Machos, seven stringed harp. Good. Okay, let's leave it there. We've still got other mafreshim to do. We've taken all these two pasukim together because they really are one unit, all about Olam Haba, and we'll come back to the session next week. Yeah.
Next week again.
Mi'ez Hashem.